There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it. No matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm Dave, that's Tim, and this is what we have on tap for you this evening. Karen Dahlman joins us to discuss spirit communication, imaginary playmates, learning to contact your guides, and being in communication with your higher self through Ouija, and other altered states of awareness that allow for otherworldly communications. And then in the third hour tonight, we're going to demystify karma. Is your karma destroying your life? Well, we're going to find out from best-selling author and international holistic practitioner, Anina Thay. She'll be joining us later on in the show this evening. Before we do that, though, Tim.
Yes.
Talk about coinkydink. Mm-hmm. Talk about the perfect promotional outlet at somebody else's tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
But fantasy and reality collided this week.
How so?
I need a little theme music, sir.
Okay.
For those of you that are not familiar, in Frankfurt, Germany, a machine on an assembly line grabbed a worker and thrust him against a metal slab, resulting in his death. The tragedy occurred at a plant belonging to a German automotive maker, Volkswagen. A 21-year-old man who was not an employee of the plant was assembling the robot for a new motor production line, according to the local. The company that he worked for built the machine for the automaker. He was the only person in the proximity of the machine. Other workers were standing in the outer area. The robot grabbed the man and threw him against a metal slab. He suffered a severe blow to the chest area, later dying in the hospital. Volkswagen spokesman Heiko Hilwig said that the incident occurred due to human error. According to the Associated Press, Tim and I know it's Skynet has come to life.
It came to life before the zombies. I called it. I win a dollar.
Now, that's not all.
What? That's not all?
No. What links a reporter and the robot apocalypse? Well, that's a good question. A journalist started a Twitter storm when she reported the industrial accident in Germany. But the reason why she sparked such a firestorm is her name. Sarah O'Connor is a reporter for the Financial Times, and in her own words, she normally tweets really boring stuff about unit wage costs. On a good day, her Twitter might get a few dozen retweets, but then she tweeted this: a robot has killed a worker in a VW plant in Germany. For fans of the Terminator film series, it was a coincidence too good to ignore. For those of you not already familiar, the heroine of the series, Sarah Connor, is humanity's last hope and pursued relentlessly by Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator, a cyborg sent from the future. The similarly unnamed woman and the report of a human death at the hands of a machine kicked Twitter into overdrive, and soon fans flooded the journalist's feeds with references. Exterminate, exterminate, wrote one. Another tweeted, I knew it would come to this. I just didn't think it would be so soon. Get my 40-watt pulse rifle. More than 1,500 tweets mentioned the journalist's name, and of course, many of the most popular messages included stills from the original film. And it said, did a reporter named Sarah O'Connor really just break the beginning of the robot apocalypse? But, of course, some more pedantically inclined fans intervened. Don't mean to ruin everyone's fun, but Sarah Connor is in Terminator, not O'Connor, tweeted one man.
Yeah.
Raining on parades.
Boy,
the real Sarah O'Connor said she never watched the films, and many of the references passed her by. A lot of the responses were things like, you're our last hope. and get John to safety. And she had no clue what the hell they were talking to. How do you have a name like Sarah O'Connor and not have had some of your friends that weren't bookworms reference the movie to you at some point?
It would be funny if she were in a relationship with Kyle Reese.
Yes.
Just saying.
All right. With that said, real quickly.
Do you want
I just got back. Oh, no. Keep it on.
Oh, okay.
I just got back from Terminator Genesis. Ooh, that was a good upswing right there.
Yeah, it was.
The new sequel in the Terminator series. Kind of a, not a reimagining, but a reengineering of the historic tale.
Mm-hmm.
This movie really fits in nicely. I mean, you can forget about the last two crappy movies. This one really kind of bookends well as part of an original trilogy, if you will, and a good kickoff to a whole new series.
Hmm.
This movie really was worth the wait, and I'm glad Arnold was in it. He plays a great version of his classic character. They've kind of upended things in the J.J. Abrams Star Trek way. You know, the timeline has been messed with.
Okay.
And it's really a clever movie. I enjoyed it. Again, it's about 2 hours and 9 minutes long. 9 minutes of about credit. You want to stay through the credits because there's one final scene in the credits.
Okay.
Matt Smith fans will be a little disappointed. That's all I'm going to say.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. And then it's about 10 minutes content-wise too long.
Okay.
There was a little lag time, which I know sometimes you've got to let that yield, but I really wanted a thrill ride through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty good, but there was, like I said, there was about 10 minutes they could have chopped away to keep the flow moving better.
Yeah.
But this one is really a solid movie. It kind of takes us into the world of the first Terminator and then wraps it around and then changes things radically. So it's a really intriguing flick. I liked it. I would say out of 5 stars, I would give it a serious 4.5 stars for Terminator Genesis. Plus, okay. The girl playing Sarah Connor really kind of channels Linda Hamilton. She doesn't look like her so much as she just kind of embodies her, but she starts to look like her through the movie because she nails the character.
Okay.
And it's really well done. Guy doesn't look anything like Kyle Reese, Michael Biehn, not at all.
No.
But... great movie. I would definitely give it 4.5 stars. Terminator Genesis is open nationwide now. When we return, Karen Dahlman communicating through Ouija on Darkness Radio. A. Dahlman is a published author, licensed psychotherapist, intuitive, paranormal, and metaphysical practitioner. Karen holds a master's degree from the University of New Mexico and is specialized in art, psychotherapy, hypnosis, and past life regression work. Within the paranormal and metaphysical circles, Karen is known as a leading expert Ouijaologist. Since 1973, Karen has directly communicated with her spirit friends via the Ouija board, while receiving consistently profound and relevant messages from the varying consciousnesses and sentient beings with whom she maintains relationships. She is the author of her most recent book, The Spirit of Alchemy, Secret Teachings of the Sacred Reunion. Welcome back to the show, our good friend Karen Dahlman. Good evening, Karen.
Good evening, Dave and Tim. Thank you for having me.
You bet. It's a pleasure to have you join us again. Thank you, as always, for being here. And we've got some cool stuff to do and talk about tonight. And you have a special for the book. Why don't you tell our listeners about your book and about the special you have going on for our listeners?
Sounds great. Well, since this is like reunion for us, I thought we should do something special tonight. And since I'm going to talk about spirits, I wanted to give you a special to all the listeners out there of Darkness Radio, the Darkness Radio Spirit Special. And what that consists of is if you go to my website, which is, I'm going to give you two names, KarenADahlman.com. or creativevisionspublications.com. Go there and you can get any of my books there. And if you type in spirit and the secret coupon code, just type in spirit, you'll get $5 off your order. And this offer is going to run for 48 hours. And so please come by and check out the new website we just launched just a week ago, and we're really excited about it. So, yeah, that's your special tonight. We can repeat that again a little bit later for those who join later.
All right, sounds good. Let's get chatting about this. It was intriguing. The aspect you wanted to kind of look at, spirit communication, imaginary playmates, and learning to contact your guides and being in communication with your higher self through Ouija board and other altered states of awareness that allow for otherworldly communications. I mean, that's a lot of bang for your buck. Let's start off talking. One of the things that jumped at me was the imaginary playmates angle of tonight's conversation.
Yeah, you know, that one is an interesting one because I find many people in this world that are working in, or very interested, I should say, in paranormal or metaphysics or spiritual, they kind of got started when they were young and they had what we may call imaginary, like quotes around it, playmates. Mine wasn't so imaginary. And I talked to a lot of people about this over the years, and especially I wrote about it in my my third book, Dave just mentioned to you, where I introduced to you my character who was my imaginary playmate, and he's still around me. And so he's not this imaginary being. He's actually a guardian from the angelic realms. Now, I'm not saying everybody's imaginary playmate is a real thing, but I'm saying there's a possibility that sometimes children are able to, because they're closer to the veil, they haven't really forgotten where they came from and are able to tap into those kinds of spiritual realms and other dimensions. In fact, they live kind of in and out of it when they're first born. And I think what happens is we're told, who are we talking to? Are you crazy? You don't see things. I don't see it. You know, and that's just the adults caring about us that are around us. But the reason why I talked about this in my third book and opened the book with the story about my imaginary playmate, because I got to be honest, that is where it set me up in life to start looking at the paranormal, the supernatural, the metaphysical, going into the spiritual realms, is because of my connection and relationship to him, to try to understand who was this being that would come and play with me and be around all the time, and a short little guy, really, really adorable, almost like an elf, like a fairy or a sprite, beautiful little soul, and he would just talk to me and communicate through his head. It was telepathy, and so it just seemed so strange. When I was a kid, it seemed normal. And there's a lot of research out there, and I talk a little bit about it in my book, how psychologists are saying, educators are saying, it's really important for children to have their imaginary stuff, to have their imagination, to use it, because it's like they're developing a faculty of understanding who they are within the world, whether it's play make-believe or even talking to somebody you don't know, that you can't see it. It actually gives them a chance to kind of explore themselves in their world and just understand how something may be going on in another part of the world they can relate to, if they can imagine themselves that they are this great warrior, maybe 200 years ago in England or something. You have to think about those things, and children, by using their imagination, really get to be creative, and that's a spark that really helps them develop skills in life, to be creative, you know, to think critically, to think logically, to do all kinds of things with your brain when you learn to be creative. So I think that's what started me out, and I wasn't actually pushed to talk to imaginary playmate. In fact, I was always asked who I was talking to, but I found myself pushing that being out at about the age of 5 or 6 when I went to school, because I felt like I needed to grow up and I couldn't do this. They told me this person wasn't real. But I realized over the years he was very much real, and like I said, he's still around.
When you're trying to reach out and you're trying to push this away because people are telling you it's not real, what is the creature or the spirit communicating to? Is it trying to convince you otherwise, or is it just letting you kind of make your own decision on how you're going to go forward?
It's the latter choice. Yeah, he was a he. They're really androgynous, but to me he appeared as a he, and it was really my choice. And he never fought or never said don't go or no. It was just that it was time. It was just time for him to go. If you read that third book, The Spirit of Alchemy, I really go into it in detail and some of the teachings, I would say, he gives me now, but to explain where I was with him when I was young and what I was learning. So he never had any issue with me going away. It was probably me. And when I was about 8, I started getting other kinds of visitations. And that's when I really said, I've got to understand. There's a connection here between these visitations and that one I had when I was 2. 2 to the age of 5, I had my original guardian. And his name is Dacky.
How do you know that what you had when you were younger is the same being now? Could it be that this being has taken on the visage of something you would recognize in order to communicate with you more freely and make you feel more comfortable?
That's a great question. But through the years, communicating with other angelic beings and guardians and ethereal beings, you know, I don't just speak to deceased people. I speak to other realms of consciousness, as you mentioned in the introduction. And I have been able to work through many different of these beings and ask them questions about some of these other beings, such as Daki, who was my first being I ever had that I remember. And I've learned that he was a guardian. He was a guardian then. And he came to me in a small, like, body because that was more comfortable for me. He could come to me differently, though. But what I've learned, too, on the other dimensions, there's many different roles these characters, these spirits play. So if you have a guardian, some guardians have different roles than maybe angels have. And he's a more of a guardian realm where he comes and goes, but he's more like you might see out of the corner of your eye. He's more on the outside looking in and helping you from afar. So he's not so present. He won't come to the Ouija board and communicate, but my other angels and other guides will come through and talk to me about him. But he comes to me in dreams. And when I was writing this book, he had a big download of a poem that came to me. Started in a dream, and then I just took it during the day, during my mindful walking I do every day, and it came through, and it was him. And I found out later that yes, it was him. But no, he doesn't. It's not like he's trying to change guises or be anything else now. He's just more kind of on the wings, and he'll probably always stay there and comes in if I needed him. But he's not a direct communicator like some of the other beings are.
All right, let me play devil's advocate here for the listeners, skeptical listeners that are kind of walking on the fence here, trying to figure out how they feel about this kind of subject. You're a psychotherapist. You understand how the mind works and why people do certain things and how some of them will adjust. Do you ever question that this is just branches of your own consciousness that you're communicating with, that your spirit communication, imaginary playmates, guides, and higher self are just that, just branches of your own psycho, whatever it is, you're not psycho, but what's the word I'm looking for? Your own,
psychobabble.
No, your own id, your own, personal being, your own higher consciousness. Couldn't it just be branches off of that? I mean, we've seen in psychotherapy and in these kind of cases that some people will develop, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm dismissing your experiences, but people will develop different personality traits to deal with different things because of their past. Could it be that that's what you're actually experiencing as opposed to real spirit communication, you know, angels or aliens? Could it just be you're using the Ouija board as a tool to effectively communicate with yourself and kind of get guidance under the name, you know, higher being, higher consciousness, aliens, guardians, whatever they might be?
That's a great and fabulous question. I'm so glad we brought this up because this is a question I do get asked a lot. And it's a complicated question to answer, and so it's not like a yes and no. But, you know, this is where we kind of go into woo-woo land. Okay, so my specialty is working with people when I was a therapist who had dissociative identity disorders. It was called multiple personality disorders. So I work with that clientele. And I write about one of my cases in that third book, too, because I wanted to explain how consciousness can work and address that idea of if you have some extreme abuse in your background that has to happen at a certain age, a younger age, your body is so wonderful. To save you from that terror at the time, it will split off into altered personalities, and they will have a new name and a persona, and that's what you're talking about. Like maybe this is a part of me I'm talking to, or you're asking me to, could it be my higher self or these aspects of myself? Now, I'm going to say yes and no to that question, and I'm going to tell you why yes, and I'll tell you why no. Yes, I'm going to say yes because we are all connected to Source. Okay, so this is where Advanced Ouija took me. This is not the normal Ouija conversation we're having, but when you do Ouija enough, you start to branch out and go and talk to those dimensions. And what happens is you start to learn there's some truth here, and there's a path you're starting to follow, and it's not so much like, oh, it's exciting and fun to talk to somebody who's dead or a spirit guide. It's that you start to see that there's a connection. And everything is really synchronistically connected. And so when you get into this work deeply, you start to see that everything really is of all of the same source. So if everything is of source, you can call that God, you can call it source, you can call it all that is, the center of the cosmos. We're all connected there. So in a sense, when I speak to my higher self, that is an aspect of me. So Dackie comes to me as an aspect of Source, and I'm connected to Source. So it's so bizarre and woo-woo out there, and it's like we're talking about Twilight Zone stuff, but that's where this takes you. When you really dig into this deeply, you start to see that everything really is connected, and that's where you start seeing that synchronicity is a natural thing that happens, and things that we call miracles sometimes are really actually all this incredible synchronicity that's going on and showing that how we really are connected, and there's a force around us that flows through us and we're a part of. So that is why I say yes to your answer to they are an aspect of me. Now, I'm going to say no, they are also separate from me. And when I communicate with them, they are giving me information that, okay, again, we're all connected somewhere, so maybe that's how I get my information, but information that my brain wouldn't know. Now, we don't understand the whole powers of our brain. In fact, I think we use like 8%. And we don't understand the power of our mind, which is not our brain, but it's the ability of the consciousness. You know, we're talking about the superconscious, unconscious, subconscious, the ego, all those aspects are part of this mind. And the mind, we just don't quite understand. We can't really wrap our arms around it and exactly understand everything, but I can tell you there's things that I'm getting, messages, words, and the energy feel, and what I've seen as well, I see apparitions every now and then, that it's separate from me too. So they have their own personality, their own life, their own evolution, and their own way of going about being, whether it's a spirit guide, whether it's a dead, deceased person, whether it's an animal in spirit, or they all have their own sense of self, okay? So I'm talking to them, and they come through and give me messages, you know, there's no way I would have known now. But then again, if I go the more of the holistic Source way, I'm connected to all anyway, as you are too, Dave, and as you are too, Tim, and as everyone of your listeners are, that's how I think people learn to start tapping in to the other dimensions, because they realize they're not really disconnected from them anyway.
Karen Dahlman, our guest, we have to take a quick break. We'll be back with more right after this. Twin Cities, this summer, stay out of school. You're invited to attend a complimentary advanced screening of The Gallows on Monday, July 6th at Showplace Icon here in St. Louis Park. The movie begins at 7:30. You want to get there early because they always overbook the theater to ensure full capacity and seats are not guaranteed. So make sure you do arrive early. The film is rated R, The Gallows Movie, which all of this Charlie nonsense, Tim, all of
yes.
that stuff
yep.
was kind of viral marketing for this new movie,
ah,
The Gallows,
whose
bad guy is Charlie, and his weapon of choice is
perfume.
A noose.
Oh.
A noose. Yeah.
A noose.
So here's the deal. You have a couple ways you can get tickets. You can go to my Facebook page, scroll down. I've got a link on there. Otherwise, you can shoot me an email right now, dave@darknessradio.com. dave@darknessradio.com. You can join Tim and I, and the happy medium herself, Jody Levon, will be on hand doing a little gallery session before the movie begins. So if you're interested, you can email me, dave@darknessradio.com. I'll shoot you over the link, or you can give Tim a call right now, and all he'll need is a working email address. You can shoot the phone call to us at 651-989-5855, 651-989-5855. I'll shoot that email over to you after the show tonight so you can see The Gallows and join us on Monday at the Showplace Icon Theaters here in St. Louis Park at 7:30 p.m. for the opening of the movie. Again, like I said, get there early, about 6 or 6:30, to assure that you get in. Let's get back to it. Karen Dahlman, our guest this evening, as we're discussing communication, tapping into our inner selves, our inner consciousness, and alternate realities, parallel universes. I mean, do you believe that those things do exist and that we do have access to them using a tool like the spirit boards and Ouija boards?
Absolutely. In fact, when I was practicing as a therapist and doing past life regressions with people, we often tapped into in-between lives, past lives, and also future lives. There really is no sense of time other than when the person would go into these realms through hypnosis, they would see certain period costume clothing and things that would happen, and so they can figure out what period that was. But I've had people also go into other realms that we don't even know. I couldn't even tell you where it exists. So there's abilities to do that, and we do it a lot in our dreams. That's another way you can time travel and travel into these different dimensions. And this is when a lot of times spirit guides will come to you and talk to you, your angels and loved ones who have passed on. Now, using hypnosis, you can do self-hypnosis too. You can tap into a lot of these dimensions and communicate and receive messages and visit and...
Well, let me talk to you about that. Hypnotherapy. I mean, that's something that allows us kind of a freedom. We are a very intelligent species, and we're a very imaginative and creative species. Sometimes in hypnotherapy, it's releasing the pride, the ego, and things like that, and kind of shutting it down so that whatever's inside has a chance to come out, and we can sometimes hide behind that veil. You go see any of these, and I don't mean to compare real hypnotherapy with the comedian hypnotist shows, but that gives a good perspective to the idea. When people see these comedian hypnotist shows, what it's really doing is these people are not actually being hypnotized. What they're doing is they're given a tool so that they can act like jackasses on stage and have a lot of fun doing it, let out their inner child and blame it on hypnosis for 45 minutes or an hour. I know I've been a part of the show a few times. I was not in a state of hypnosis. I wasn't doing what I was being told to do because I was compelled to do so. I did it because my inner child was, I was able to hide behind the fact that, oh, I'm hypnotized. Yeah. So I can be ridiculous right now. And nobody will, I can do all the silly stuff I want to do. Nobody will judge me for it because it's part of the show. So when you look at things like the Ouija board and communicating with these things, couldn't it be that we're just looking for permission and we're looking for a crutch in order to hide behind and say, oh, we got this information from here. I got that confirmation from here. So now I should proceed going on with this. Because it does seem people like to have some kind of leadership. They like to have some kind of, they like to have something that tells them what to do, how to do, and when to do it. So if we actually are just tapping into who we really are in our own potential, and then using the crutch of hypnosis or the crutch of spirit boards, shack hack spirit boxes, communication, things like that. Couldn't it just be that that's what's really going on again? Our consciousness being freed from, we're kind of tricking our own ego into allowing us to be a free thinker at that moment.
I think a lot of times we have to get out of our way, out from right. ourselves, our own way. And so hypnosis can help you do that. Yeah, I can't speak to the stage of hypnotism. I didn't do that. I didn't work on that level. I use it to go into a relaxed state where stuff would start surfacing. Now, this is interesting about hypnosis, and this will kind of make a comment to what you just said. When you use hypnosis in therapy, the idea is that there's something that's troubling in your life right here and now, and you just follow that back to its origination. That could be when you were young. It could be 5 years ago. It could be a month ago. It could be, 1,000 years ago when you lived as someone else possibly, or as another character. It could be somewhere in between lives. You follow that back and you see where the story takes you. Now, I will use the word story because people have said to me many times, well, how do I know I'm not making this up? Kind of like what you're alluding to. I'm giving an opportunity just to make up a story and get something cool to say. And I go, well, you know what? Let's do this.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying like
no,
we're using it.
Question.
Yeah, we're not. But I'm not putting it in that vein of.
You're using it
to fake it through. I'm saying that you're actually allowing yourself to believe that that's what's going on. You're kind of removing your ego from the situation so you can finally get to answers that you may have fought before, but using the guise of spirit communication.
Yeah, and that helps you do that. And so they tell a story, and they hear the story, and then they start realizing their life is changing after they do a recall and a release of the energy and through the hypnosis, and there's a whole process involved with past life regression. I don't want to bore everybody with it. But it is pretty fascinating because it does allow you to get outside of yourself, see it from a new perspective, and then work with the energy to release it. And as you do that, then it's crutch. I might not use that word. I would say it's a tool, just like a spirit board is, or the Frank's box, or tools into other dimensions. And so I say use them. I say, but the goal isn't to use them and go, oh, this is cool, neat stuff, fun. There's something else that happens as you do this work. You start to realize more of yourself comes alive, as you were alluding to, Dave, when you were saying, really get to be who you really are inside. And this stuff starts coming out when we start removing the blocks. So hypnosis can help you. And the spirit board, I know a lot of people who will use it to find out their past lives and stuff. And one thing I want to say about that, to use the board for that, I wouldn't do that early on and when you're learning to use a board, because the information you get early on is usually not something to be trusted. It's always not accurate. It takes time to really build these relationships and the energies with these other beings on your side to get the quality of the being you want to communicate with, who can give you more accurate stuff, who actually knows you and has your best interest at heart. Not everybody that's deceased is going to have your best interest at heart, because if they were ugly when alive, they're going to be ugly and mean when they're dead. You know, they don't always change unless they look for help on the other side. So there's an aspect of that to you. You can use these tools to reach into other dimensions, and that's what I do. And I've used many of these different tools to do just that.
Well, let's take our break. We'll come back. Let's talk about reaching other dimensions, parallel lives, parallel consciousness, and how we can get into that with our guest, Karen Dahlman, here on Darkness Radio. Our guest this evening, let's start talking about tapping into the other worlds around us, the other realities and possibilities. Talk to me about how you first started to venture into that.
I would say my first venture into that was with dreams. I've always been a very vivid dreamer. They're always in color. I didn't know people didn't have dreams in color when I was young, but they apparently don't. It's always me involved. There's always interaction. I'm flying a lot. I was able to do lucid dreaming. So that, when I realized there was a name for lucid dreaming, I really started studying that, and going and attending dream groups, running dream groups, just being and doing a lot with dreams over the years. And I find that when you start to work with your dreams and recall them and write them down first thing in the morning before you have your shower, have your cup of coffee, you don't want to forget it, you will start over a period of time. Even within a few days, you'll start to see some kind of theme, especially if there's something you're working on in your life. Now, I got to back up here, Dave. Everything I do when I do this work has a purpose. It's not just it's novel. Although it's fun to just to know your dreams for fun, I always take it to the next step. And I always, for me, it's the next level. I find what's the purpose, the application of it. So for me, dreams became a way to see these themes emerge and to, like I said, have communication either with other beings from other realities, which who come back and visit me at different times throughout my life. I can see that now, as I've kept dream journals since I was very, very young. But just starting out with a dream journal, putting it by your bed, it could be a piece of paper and a pen, or it could be a recorder, and you immediately put your dreams down and then go about your day. And then you look back at the dreams and see if there's any kind of symbol or image that keeps appearing, or certain place or environment you are, or some kind of actor repeating. Like I knew somebody who was always in a car that was out of control, and he told me his dreams would take him around a corner, and somebody else was driving, and it was like he's going to fly off the edge, and right when he was getting ready to fly off the edge, he woke up. And so it was all about this part of his life that was feeling it was spinning out of control. Your dreams speak to you in symbols, signs, metaphors, images. It's from that creative realm of your consciousness, of your mind. And so they will speak to you in symbols that are specific to you. So if an apple means to one person a forbidden fruit, and an apple means to you yummy and delicious, then in your dream it's going to mean yummy and delicious. So you got to really look at developing your own recognition of your own symbols and what they might mean to you. And then you start seeing these themes appear. That's one way to go into consciousness and other realms. And it's really, you are tapping into yourself, your higher self, but then again, you may get visitations from loved ones. Now, whether those are real external or are they in your mind loved ones, I don't think that matters so much other than the message you receive, because it's usually one of healing, of helping, of saying goodbye, or something of that nature. I had my grandmother come to me after she passed, and she looked like she did when she died when she was, I believe she was like 69, 70. She looked like she did when she was 35, and she said, this is how I feel the best. And she came to the dream and told me what she was doing and what she was working on, and it was just amazing. I'll never forget a dream like that. So people want to get in to start working in these other realms and dimensions and open yourself up to the wisdom of these other dimensions. Dreams is the best way to do it. Easiest way, cheapest way, you don't have to go buy any tool or apparatus, and it's just you and your pen and paper. And that's a great way to start.
All right. Good way to begin that. And then can you begin to hit that level consciously where you don't have to be in dream states?
Yes. And a lot of people use meditation, journaling, contemplation. I do all that. I do that as well. I can get in those levels without just being in a dream. When you lucid dream, you learn to be in your dream and be able to start making things happen where you can confront an intruder, you can fly at will, you can go visit, travel someplace and see a place far away. That's really a cool thing, and you can work up to that level. But outside of dreams, if you start using a practice of meditation, and basically I'm talking about a very simple practice of following your breath, and as your mind leaves your breath, you come back to your breath, and you start to just be the spirit of your breath. And if you can just breathe in and out and be with that energy and stop those monkey thoughts of your brain running around, they just run around like little monkeys in a tree, and when you go away with those thoughts, bring them back and go back to your breath, you start to develop thoughts and ideas, and things will come to you. You might even hear some voices. Things come, and when I say voices, it's like your higher self speaking that have suggestions for you, or an answer to something might come. It's not like you're sitting there, what's the answer? You're sitting there relaxing enough to allow it to flow up to the top of your awareness. And that's another easy way. It takes a while to practice, but that's another way you can start tapping into these consciousness while being awake. Now you're not asleep. You're actually awake while you're doing this.
Is there any inherent danger to doing this just kind of willy-nilly and kind of opening up and exposing to it? Because certainly you wouldn't open the front door to your house and just start yelling down the lane looking for advice or thoughts. How do you open this conduit and open to a high level? You know, so many people like to say, and I'm going to be honest here, Karen, I know a lot of people that claim to be sensitives and empaths and psychics, and Tim, you can back me up on this, and they are some of the most messed up people on the planet Earth. Mm-hmm. And I say that with love in my heart, because it breaks my heart to see how messy their own lives are. And they tell me that they're coming from places of love and light, and then they're recovering drug and alcohol abusers, maybe not even fully recovering. Their lives are in shambles. Their personal lives are in shambles. Their finances are in shambles. And it just seems to me that maybe they're not really opening up a conduit to a good place in a good light. It seems like something is more destructive at work and eating away at them like a cancer.
Well, everybody's human. And so we have our foibles, and those don't necessarily go away. Even when you feel like you're in a state of practicing some of these techniques I'm talking about, you're still human. You're still going to have your ups and downs, and life is still going to happen. And you may still have your struggles, too. It's always easier to help somebody else than sometimes to help ourselves. And I remember being a therapist, and when I first started being a therapist, I said, I'm not perfect. How can I help these people? And they said, it's not the fact that you'd be perfect. It's the fact that you're present with them. So when we want to work with ourselves and open these realms, be present with yourself. It's not about inviting or evoking these other outside energies. It's about becoming more of who you are. So if you're focusing on your breath, you're focusing on your dreams, you're focusing on your relaxed state of meditation, you will find yourself connecting more to yourself. And when you connect more to yourself, there's a groundedness in that, there's a centeredness in it. You start to make better decisions in life. So things can start to shift and change for you. I know what you're talking about. I think a lot of people out there who work in this, they are beautiful souls. They can do some of this work, but then you're right. The other part of their life is tough. And that's just human nature. I mean, we're always going to get that.
But a lot of people, too, are very bogged down by negativity at this point. And,
yes.
And it's so hard to open up and look for advantage. We all want happy things. We all want good things. We all want to focus on our dreams and our deal. But then that negativity starts to seep in. I mean, is there a real profound way to just start shoring up those walls so that the negativity is blocked and we're not having that influence in our life? That's my biggest problem, is trying to break out of that mold.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's everybody's biggest problem. I think we can approach this two ways. One is real spiritual, and we can look at just the nature of our thoughts and nature of repeating sometimes the same things over and over again, and those kind of get us in a bind because it obviously hasn't been working. And so the other way we can look at it is a very practical way of what can I do right now for myself that I know that's going to give me some kind of respite or joy just for this moment. I know I've got to work, I've got to pay the bills, I've got to do this, do that, and they're coming after, the collectors are coming after me. All those things happen, but if you can find time in your day to just take the time to either to do the breathing exercise or do something you really enjoy that makes you happy, you start to invite those vibrations in more. Yes, life is still hard, but you start to invite those vibrations in. And that's the biggest thing I can tell or I can say to people. When things are getting really chaotic for me at times, I have to spend more time in meditation. And I may not have the time, but I force myself. I'll get up an hour earlier or stay up later because I know that that's going to help me on some level. And it changes the energy. It changes my energy. So it's just as simple as, you get up in the morning and the day's not going well. You spilled your coffee on your keyboard. Now your laptop's not going to work. And you go out to start your car and there's a flat tire. And, just list goes on and on. And then you just get all worked up with that energy. But somehow we can stop in the middle of this chaos and just find our center again. And by practicing these things of self-hypnosis, meditation, working through dreams, understanding your themes in life, breathing, you can find your way back to that center quicker. And not that your life is going to, no, you still got to get that tire fixed. You still got to get your keyboard fixed on your laptop. You still got to go show up at work. And there may be a lot of traffic, but you can go, okay, this is just one day. This
good
is
point.
One day. And it may be sometimes a week or months and years, but it's just a moment in time. And if I can find that joy, that's what you live for.
All right, Karen Dahlman, our guest, we have to take our break. We'll be back. We've got some news to deal with, and then we're back with Karen Dahlman. And a little bit later on in the show, Brett Butler will join us to do the drawing that we've promised. So stay tuned. That's all next on Darkness Radio. Phone call to us at 651-989-5855, 651-989-5855. I'll shoot that email over to you after the show tonight so you can see the gallows and join us on Monday at the Showplace Icon Theaters here in St. Louis Park at 7:30 p.m. for the opening of the movie. Again, like I said, get there early, about 6 or 6:30 to assure that you get in. Let's get back to it. Karen Dahlman, our guest this evening, as we're discussing communication, tapping into our inner selves, our inner consciousness, and alternate realities, parallel universes. I mean, do you believe that those things do exist and that we do have access to them using a tool like the spirit boards and Ouija boards?
Absolutely. In fact, when I was practicing as a therapist and doing past life regressions with people, we often tapped into in-between lives, past lives, and also future lives. There really is no sense of time other than when the person would go into these realms through hypnosis, they would see certain period costume clothing and things that would happen, and so they can figure out what period that was. But I've had people also go into other realms that we don't even know. I couldn't even tell you where it exists. So there's abilities to do that, and we do it a lot in our dreams. That's another way you can time travel and travel into these different dimensions, and this is when a lot of times spirit guides will come to you and talk to you, your angels and loved ones who have passed on. Now, using hypnosis, you can do self-hypnosis too. You can tap into a lot of these dimensions and communicate and receive messages and visit and...
Let me talk to you about that. Hypnotherapy. I mean, that's something that allows us kind of a freedom. We are a very intelligent species, and we're a very imaginative and creative species. Sometimes in hypnotherapy, it's releasing the pride, the ego, and things like that, and kind of shutting it down so that whatever's inside has a chance to come out, and we can sometimes hide behind that veil. You go see any of these, and I don't mean to compare real hypnotherapy with the comedian hypnotist shows, but that gives a good perspective to the idea. When people see these comedian hypnotist shows, what it's really doing is these people are not actually being hypnotized. What they're doing is they're given a tool so that they can act like jackasses on stage and have a lot of fun doing it, let out their inner child and blame it on hypnosis for 45 minutes or an hour. I know I've been a part of the show a few times. I was not in a state of hypnosis. I wasn't doing what I was being told to do because I was compelled to do so. I did it because my inner child was, I was able to hide behind the fact that, I'm hypnotized, yeah, so I can be ridiculous right now and nobody will, you know, I can do all the silly stuff I want to do. Nobody will judge me for it because it's part of the show. So when you look at things like the Ouija board and communicating with these things, couldn't it be that we're just looking for permission and we're looking for a crutch in order to hide behind and say, we got this information from here. I got that confirmation from here. So now I should proceed going on with this. Because it does seem people like to have some kind of leadership. They like to have some kind of, they like to have something that tells them what to do, how to do, and when to do it. So if we actually are just tapping into who we really are in our own potential, and then using the crutch of hypnosis or the crutch of spirit boards, you know, shack hacks, spirit boxes, communication, things like that. Couldn't it just be that that's what's really going on again? Our consciousness being freed from, you know, we're kind of tricking our own ego into allowing us to be a free thinker at that moment.
I think a lot of times we have to get out of our way, out from right. ourselves, our own way. And so hypnosis can help you do that. Yeah, I can't speak to the stage of hypnotism. I didn't do that. I didn't work on that level. I use it to go into a relaxed state where stuff would start surfacing. Now, this is interesting about hypnosis, and this will kind of make a comment to what you just said. When you use hypnosis in therapy, the idea is that there's something that's troubling in your life right here and now, and you just follow that back to its origination. That could be when you were young, it could be 5 years ago, it could be a month ago, it could be, you know, 1,000 years ago when you lived as someone else possibly, or as another character. It could be somewhere in between lives. You follow that back and you see where the story takes you. Now, I will use the word story because people have said to me many times, well, how do I know I'm not making this up? Kind of like what you're alluding to. I'm, you know, giving an opportunity just to make up a story and get something cool to say. And I go, well, you know what? Let's do this.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying
we're
using it.
Question.
Yeah, we're not. But I'm not putting it in that vein of.
You're using it
to fake it through. I'm saying that you're actually allowing yourself to believe that that's what's going on. You're kind of removing your ego from the situation so you can finally get to answers that you may have fought before, but using the guise of spirit communication.
Yeah, and that helps you do that. And so they tell a story, and they hear the story, and then they start realizing their life is changing after they do a recall and a release of the energy and through the hypnosis, and there's a whole process involved with past life regression. I don't want to bore everybody with it. But it is pretty fascinating because it does allow you to get outside of yourself, see it from a new perspective, and then work with the energy to release it. And as you do that, then it's crutch. I would not use that word. I would say it's a tool, just like a spirit board is, or the Frank's box, or tools into other dimensions. And so I say, use them. I say, but the goal isn't to use them and go, this is cool, neat stuff, fun. There's something else that happens as you do this work. You start to realize more of yourself comes alive, as you were alluding to, Dave, when you were saying, you know, really get to be who you really are inside. And this stuff starts coming out when we start removing the blocks. So hypnosis can help you. And the spirit board, I know a lot of people who will use it to find out their past lives and stuff. And one thing I want to say about that, to use the board for that, I wouldn't do that early on when you're learning to use a board, because the information you get early on is usually not something to be trusted. It's always not accurate. It takes time to really build these relationships and the energies with these other beings on your side to get the quality of the being you want to communicate with, who can give you more accurate stuff, who actually knows you and has your best interest at heart. Not everybody that's deceased is going to have your best interest at heart, because if they were ugly when alive, they're going to be ugly and mean when they're dead. You know, they don't always change unless they look for help on the other side. So there's an aspect of that to you. You can use these tools to reach into other dimensions, and that's what I do. And I've used many of these different tools to do just that.
Well, let's take our break. We'll come back. Let's talk about reaching other dimensions, parallel lives, parallel consciousness, and how we can get into that with our guest, Karen Dahlman, here on Darkness Radio. Karen Dahlman, our guest this evening. Let's start talking about tapping into the other worlds around us, the other realities and possibilities. Talk to me about how you first started to venture into that.
I would say my first venture into that was with dreams. I've always been a very vivid dreamer. They're always in color. I didn't know people didn't have dreams in color when I was young, but they apparently don't. It's always me involved. There's always interaction. I'm flying a lot. I was able to do lucid dreaming. So that when I realized there was a name for lucid dreaming, I really started studying that and going and attending dream groups, running dream groups, just being and doing a lot with dreams over the years. And I find that when you start to work with your dreams and recall them and write them down first thing in the morning before you have your shower, have your cup of coffee, you don't want to forget it, you will start over a period of time, even within a few days, you'll start to see some kind of theme, especially if there's something you're working on in your life. Now, and see, now I got to back up here, Dave. Everything I do when I do this work has a purpose. It's not just it's novel. Although it's fun to just to know your dreams for fun, I always take it to the next step, and I always, for me, it's the next level. I find what's the purpose, the application of it. So for me, dreams became a way to see these themes emerge and to, like I said, have communication either with other beings from other realities, which who come back and visit me at different times throughout my life. I can see that now as I've kept dream journals since I was very, very young. But just starting out with a dream journal, putting it by your bed, it could be a piece of paper and a pen, or it could be a recorder, and you immediately put your dreams down and then go about your day. And then you look back at the dreams and see if there's any kind of symbol or image that keeps appearing or certain place or environment you are or some kind of act you're repeating. Like I knew somebody who was always in a car that was out of control, and he told me his dreams would take him around a corner and somebody else was driving and it was like he's going to fly off the edge, and right when he was getting ready to fly off the edge, he woke up. And so it was all about this part of his life that was feeling it was spinning out of control. You look, your dreams speak to you in symbols, signs, metaphors, images. It's from that creative realm of your consciousness, of your mind. And so they will speak to you in symbols that are specific to you. So if an apple means to one person a forbidden fruit, and an apple means to you yummy and delicious, then in your dream it's going to mean yummy and delicious. So you got to really look at developing your own recognition of your own symbols and what they might mean to you. And then you start seeing these themes appear. That's one way to go into consciousness and other realms. And it's really, you are tapping into yourself, your higher self, but then again, you may get visitations from loved ones. Now, whether those are real external or are they in your mind loved ones, I don't think that matters so much other than the message you receive, because it's usually one of healing, of helping, of saying goodbye, or something of that nature. I had my grandmother come to me after she passed, and she looked like she did when she died when she was, I think, believe she was like 69, 70. She looked like she did when she was 35, and she said, "This is how I feel the best." And she came to the dream and told me what she was doing and what she was working on, and it was just amazing. I'll never forget a dream like that. So people want to get in to start working in these other realms and dimensions and open yourself up to the wisdom of these other dimensions. Dreams is the best way to do it. Easiest way, cheapest way, you don't have to go buy any tool or apparatus, and it's just you and your pen and paper. And that's a great way to start.
All right. Good way to begin that. And then can you begin to hit that level consciously where you don't have to be in dream states?
Yes. And a lot of people use meditation, journaling, contemplation. I do all that. I do that as well. I can get in those levels without just being in a dream. When you lucid dream, you learn to be in your dream and be able to start making things happen where you can confront an intruder, you can fly at will, you can go visit, travel someplace and see a place that's far away. That's really a cool thing, and you can work up to that level. But outside of dreams, if you start using a practice of meditation, and basically I'm talking about a very simple practice of following your breath. And as your mind leaves your breath, you come back to your breath, and you start to just be the spirit of your breath. And if you can just breathe in and out and be with that energy and stop those monkey thoughts of your brain running around, they just run around like little monkeys in a tree. And when you go away with those thoughts, bring them back and go back to your breath, you start to develop thoughts and ideas, and things will come to you. You might even hear some voices. Things come, and when I say voices, it's like your higher self speaking that have suggestions for you, or an answer to something might come. It's not like you're sitting there, what's the answer, what's the answer? You're sitting there relaxing enough to allow it to flow up to the top of your awareness. And that's another easy way. It takes a while to practice, but that's another way you can start tapping into these consciousness while being awake. Now you're not asleep. You're actually awake while you're doing this.
Is there any inherent danger to doing this just kind of willy-nilly and kind of opening up and exposing to it? Because certainly you wouldn't open the front door to your house and just start yelling down the lane looking for advice or thoughts. How do you open this conduit and open to a high level? You know, so many people like to say, and I'm going to be honest here, Karen, I know a lot of people that claim to be sensitives and empaths and psychics, and Tim, you can back me up on this, and they are some of the most messed up people on the planet Earth. Mm-hmm. And I say that with love in my heart, because it breaks my heart to see how messy their own lives are. And they tell me that they're coming from places of love and light, and then they're recovering drug and alcohol abusers, maybe not even fully recovering. Their lives are in shambles. Their personal lives are in shambles. Their finances are in shambles. And it just seems to me that maybe they're not really opening up a conduit to a good place in a good light. It seems like something is more destructive at work and eating away at them like a cancer.
Well, everybody's human. And so we have our foibles, and those don't necessarily go away. Even when you feel like you're in a state of practicing some of these techniques I'm talking about, you're still human. You're still going to have your ups and downs, and life is still going to happen. And you may still have your struggles, too. It's always easier to help somebody else than sometimes to help ourselves. And I remember being a therapist, and when I first started being a therapist, I said, I'm not perfect. How can I help these people? And they said, it's not the fact that you'd be perfect. It's the fact that you're present with them. So when we want to work with ourselves and open these realms, be present with yourself. It's not about inviting or evoking these other outside energies. It's about becoming more of who you are. So if you're focusing on your breath, you're focusing on your dreams, you're focusing on your relaxed state of meditation, you will find yourself connecting more to yourself. And when you connect more to yourself, there's a groundedness in that, there's a centeredness in it. You start to make better decisions in life. So things can start to shift and change for you. I know what you're talking about. I think a lot of people out there who work in this, they are beautiful souls. They can do some of this work, but then you're right. The other part of their life is tough. And that's just, again, that's just human nature. I mean, we're always going to get that.
But a lot of people, too, are very bogged down by negativity at this point. And,
yes.
And it's so hard to open up and look for advantage. We all want happy things. We all want good things. We all want to focus on our dreams and our deal. But then that negativity starts to seep in. I mean, is there a real profound way to just start shoring up those walls so that the negativity is blocked and we're not having that influence in our life? That's my biggest problem, is trying to break out of that mold.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's everybody's biggest problem. I think we can approach this two ways. One is real spiritual, and we can look at just the nature of our thoughts and nature of repeating sometimes the same things over and over again, and those kind of get us in a bind because it obviously hasn't been working. And so the other way we can look at it is a very practical way of what can I do right now for myself that's going to give me some kind of respite or joy just for this moment. I know I've got to work, I've got to pay the bills, I've got to do this, do that, and they're coming after, the collectors are coming after me. All those things happen, but if you can find time in your day to just take the time to either to do the breathing exercise or do something you really enjoy that makes you happy, you start to invite those vibrations in more. Yes, life is still hard, but you start to invite those vibrations in. And that's the biggest thing I can tell or I can say to people. When things are getting really chaotic for me at times, I have to spend more time in meditation. And I may not have the time, but I force myself. I'll get up an hour earlier or stay up later because I know that that's going to help me on some level. And it changes the energy. It changes my energy. So it's just as simple as, you get up in the morning and the day's not going well. You spilled your coffee on your keyboard. Now your laptop's not going to work. And you go out to start your car and there's a flat tire. And, you know, just list goes on and on. And then you just get all worked up with that energy. But somehow we can stop in the middle of this chaos and just find our center again. And by practicing these things of self-hypnosis, meditation, working through dreams, understanding your themes in life, breathing, you can find your way back to that center quicker. And not that your life is going to, you still got to get that tire fixed, you still got to get your keyboard fixed on your laptop, you still got to go show up at work, and there may be a lot of traffic, but you can go, okay, this is just one day. One day, and it may be sometimes a week or months and years, but it's just a moment in time, and if I can find that joy, that's what you live for.
All right, Karen Dahlman, our guest. We have to take our break. We'll be back. We've got some news to deal with, and then we're back with Karen Dahlman. And a little bit later on in the show, Brett Butler will join us to do the drawing that we've promised. So stay tuned. That's all next on Darkness Radio.